write it out. Teacher, student, listener, visionary, gardener, professor, pastor, storyteller, parent, mentor, friend. Dietmar Mundell is all of these and more. I first knew Dietmar as a professor, and not too long after I began to see that he was also just as much a student of his students, family, community, land. I then began to know him as a defender and nurturer of all of these, and then as a great gardener, and have been witness to him as a great parent. He is a visionary, a prophetic voice among us, and a storyteller. Just wait. Most of all, I know Dietmar as a friend. And for this, I give thanks most of all. As Raj said, Dietmar teaches the hearts of students. To him, true knowledge, good knowledge, is the lived experience, what one comes to know in community. As his student, I received credit for cooking and sharing meals, for sharing conversation, for listening, for telling my story, for following my passions, for loving this place and the fullness thereof. Dietmar acknowledges the vital importance and beauty of the commonplace by nurturing the caring spirit within each of us. And he speaks about a starting place from which we may respond to the suffering, injustice, destruction of our earth. Begin, he says, in love with the land and all her creatures. And thus our work for change is done not because we understand we have to, but because we love to. Dietmar is an advocate of ordinary life. He recognizes that the smallest, most ordinary daily acts of kindness are that to which we are called, and teaches us that that is what we are made for we are of the earth. He proposes and enthusiastically encourages everyone to live a life that is radically ordinary, for this is the path to the world of healing and peace about which we dream. I have been blessed to be a witness to the one wild, beautiful life he lives. Dietmar Mundell shows us that there is always hope beneath our feet. Dietmar.
I'll keep it short. We have the drummers waiting to, and we all want to dance in a circle after. Thank you, Carmel and Rajan. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to say, but the theme is hope beneath our feet, and I guess let's start with a quote that many of you will have heard from Erich Fromm in his book called The Revolution of Hope. And the question he asked in his introduction is, why do we have to make nature and people sick to have a healthy economy? Why do we have to make nature and people sick to have a healthy economy? And he proposes we are at a crossroads, and he figured we were at this crossroads in 1968 or 1970, whenever he published this book. I most recently reread it in Spanish, just for the heck of it. Erich Fromm lived for 25 years in Patton, my other hometown, Cuernavaca, in Mexico, in Morelos. And what he expresses there is that there is so much misunderstanding of hope. The typical Albertan hope is sort of false optimism. We will use the technology that we have used to destroy things to somehow save us from the destruction. And some of you have heard me say this before, and my wife Pat, who is my source of hope, has cited that often as well. It's the giant mine up in Yellowknife. I don't know, was it 300,000 tons of arsenic trioxide that are locked in the land that is too dangerous to move, and so the technological solution now is we will permanently, forever and ever, for millennia, freeze it in place. Good luck, because technology never breaks down. The same with the tar sands. Somehow technology is going to save us from the ongoing leakage of this into the waterways and the contamination. And somehow magically we're going to capture CO2 and pump it deep down into Saskatchewan, and it won't bubble up again and destroy fields and trees and whatever. And so, anyhow, shorthand, that's the false optimism. And then, of course, the other thing is, you know, as we heard Dakota speaking, or as we heard Sylvia and Janice, the amount of suffering or the amount of guilt. You know, if we're white settlers, there's a lot of guilt. If we are urbanites, and all of us probably driven here with cars, there's a lot of guilt around what we've done to the environment. And so how do we deal with that? And on the other hand, how do we deal with the suffering? You know, the suffering that has been inflicted, you know, okay, we didn't invent the laws, you know, or the lack of laws, and how First Nations got imprisoned on what was on their own land. So how do we deal with all of that? And what can we do about it? And we feel so small, or we feel insignificant, or we feel the powers arrayed against us, where there's multi-billion dollars, you know, sort of ringing in the cash registers in this extractive method to keep the status quo. So what can we do? And then, so we often feel powerless and paralyzed. Former colleague here, Vince Erickson, used to call it, we have a defensive apathy. We're apathetic. We feel paralyzed, we don't do anything as a defense because it's so overwhelming. So then the question is, where do we get hope? And a book that we're using in our Spirit of the Land class, and the class gets together and reflects on, you know, one of those readings. It's from a whole variety of religious and non-religious traditions. But the heading of that book is Hope Beneath Our Feet. And the question is, okay, well then, where do we find hope? Wendell Berry has said, hope can't be simply saying, it is likely that we will succeed. That's a very simplistic way of calculating our chances. Hope has to have a deeper ground. And the ground that Sylvia laid out so beautifully yesterday, and that we have deepened today with our panel and with Chris to bring in, which is crucial, we have to bring in the urban. This is not a farming topic. This is a global topic we're dealing with. But anyhow, what they have brought forward is ultimately we need a hope that is beneath our feet. And just to recall Chief Seattle, and of course there's, you know, Chief Seattle's talk about 140 years ago has been expanded. Some of it based on his notes and some of it probably freely invented. But the key phrase, which our family sings as a table grace, and we sang it at our daughter's wedding. It was actually quite funny. But we were at UBC, which is on Musqueam territory, and one of the direct descendants of Chief Seattle actually was there. And anyhow, so Cease sang an opening chant to open the wedding ceremony. But anyhow, so we got finally to the wedding meal, which was out on the farm. The food was produced about 100 yards away from where we were eating it. And so we said, well, we always sing grace, and we sing these words of Chief Seattle. The irony is, of course, we sing it in German. and our daughter Erica had worked with a lot of indigenous women from downtown Lower East Side Vancouver. And, of course, they were all part of the wedding party. And they just, you know, and with this amazing sense of humor, they were just laughing and laughing before we sang. I said, well, okay, you know, sing it in your language, please. Of course, then they laughed. No, we had permission to sing it in German. But the text is simply, every part of this earth is sacred to my people. And I think that's one way of recalling that ultimately we cannot solve, as you know, that's the theme of the whole event, we cannot solve our issues by technology, although technology is very useful, as Chris has been pointing out, we have to use wise technology, but it in itself is not the solution. We have to ultimately change our spirits. Our spirits have to be healed. And so we have to do the inner spiritual healing so we don't end up in apathy, we don't end up with false optimism, but we have genuine hope. And one image that, again, Eric Fromm uses, hope is like a crouching tiger. And the crouching tiger can be quite quiet for a long time, but it knows how to bounce or pounce at the right moment. Carmel and Sylvia were just at an event by the Kairos movement, which sort of 11 different denominations in Canada deal with environment and First Nations and various justice issues. And Kairos just means the right moment. But what is the source of our hope? Well, the source of the hope in this all the earth is sacred to my people by Chief Seattle is in fact what a lot of Christians have lost, but is also in their creation myth. We are all earthlings. And we're all earthlings that lived by the divine spirit. And earth and divine spirit together make a living soul. Unfortunately, for many Christians, they thought either their mind or their soul is some eternal thing divorced from the body. And once you divorce it from the body, you're divorcing it from the earth. And if we go back to these creation stories, you see an amazing amount of similarity. Sure, the narratives are different, but the similarity is ultimately the divine spirit is present in all of creation. And so our hope is physically beneath our feet. And as Silvio was saying, and shake the hand of somebody as if they are your family. They are your family. Hope is within the community because this is the presence of the sacred. This is the presence of the divine. So it's in people and the land that we can be spiritually renewed. And only as we are spiritually renewed by real community that we create wherever we are, and by finding in urban spaces and in rural spaces, finding a way to reconnect to the land, let the land nourish us. You know, get off your treadmills and go into the trail systems or whatever, but let that nourish you. That as you get healed by the divine, by the sacred, in humans and in nature, all of which is creation, then we can take on the role of starting to participate in the healing of creation. And we've heard there's so much damage, but all of us can participate, and we can become like somebody when she walks, the earth trembles, like Sylvia. Or we can be somebody who dances round dances and can sing and chant. And we can be somebody who knows how to play and somebody who knows how to listen to children and somebody who knows how to create a livable community and goes into architecture or urban design or into politics. There's thousands of ways that we can do it. But it's always that connection that ourselves be healed. That's where the hope springs. Not our chance of success. The empire is gigantic and the empire is crumbling. We know it, it's falling. They just don't want to acknowledge it. But that's not what we're counting on. We're counting on the reality that we have a hope. And the phrase is hope springs eternal, and that's not a cheesy thing. It springs, but only if we connect ourselves to the hope beneath our feet. And I think all of us can do that in our own way. We can be earth keepers, and like Bruce, we can be water keepers, and whatever, but preserving life, preserving community, preserving the integrity and the complexity of nature, preserving the diversity of our peoples. I think that is our common challenge. When we do that, we will constantly be living with the assurance that all things are sacred to my people, or in the Christian idiom, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It is never ours. It's never our private property. It always belongs to all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Dittmar. Now it's time to dance. So we're all done with our conference. One final closing. I feel like we've been blessed over this short day and a half to become treaty people. And as we dance together, thank you to the people from Pesach Esteo Center for coming and leading us in the round dance. So we can all rise as treaty people upon this great earth, and we'll walk out to the forum, which is not this forum here, but the next one over, and dance in a sacred round dance. And if you could, at the door, leave your name tag so we can keep them for next time we gather. Or just put it on your table if you like. Thank you.